Welcome to the February 14th, 2006, dsmith.org podcast, Podcasting Tips. I'm Doug Smith. Well, I've had a lot of fun over the last month of January and first half of February generating these podcasts, and also I really enjoy listening to other podcasts. And if you type the word podcast and some other term of a subject you're interested in into Google, you'll get thousands of podcasts. There's quite a few of them out there. In particular, I enjoy the technical podcast, very science topics, and on some of the engineering lists, a few people now have put out a podcast. And again, I really enjoy listening to those. I want to encourage others to do the same. It's a great way of disseminating information and using otherwise wasted time. For instance, I listen to these other people's podcasts while driving in the car. And I've learned all kinds of great things I wouldn't have had the time to learn if that were just driving in the car without listening to the radio or something. Well, while I'm certainly not an expert on this topic after only a month and a half, I thought I would share some tips of various things that I've learned to help other people get started and avoid some pitfalls I'm aware of that other people have made. I never thought of myself as having a radio voice that people would actually want to listen to, although apparently a fair number of people listen to this podcast. My inspiration was really geeknewscentral.com, geeknewscentral, all run together, .com. And it's a very popular podcast in the technical arena, and I listen to it every week, lots of great information there, and it was really my inspiration to get started here. So take a listen to that. I think you'll like it. Now, if we get into things to help one get into this, let's talk about something you should do in the podcast, and that is identify yourself. At the beginning and maybe the end, you should have your name and at least a web address or an email address or something where people can get a hold of you. I listened to a great podcast recently, and I had none of that, and I don't remember who it was, and I would love to go back and listen to more, but I don't know where I got it from. So that's paramount. And if you're going to produce these things, you could record that separately and then just add it to the front of each podcast. There's lots of great MP3 software out there for tying files together. If you happen to have a Unix-based machine, you can literally use the Unix concatenate command called cat, file1.mp3 to file2.mp3, file3.mp3 into, it's a greater than sign, file4.mp3, and it ties them all together, makes one big one, as long as the sampling rate's the same and as long as they don't have ID3 tags. But there's also fancy software that's not expensive for Windows and for Mac that will do that for you. Let's talk for a minute about bandwidth and RSS. RSS stands for Really Simple Syndication. And it's a way you may have heard of where you can subscribe to a website or a podcast and have it automatically downloaded to your machine. Well, I would advise especially newcomers like myself to stay away from it for the following reason. It's not as though the website pushes it to your computer. It's that your computer pulls the website frequently, and I'm understanding that something on the order of every 5 minutes your computer pulls the website. Is there something new for me? Well, a very interesting thing happened to a fellow named Leo Laporte, who runs a tech program on the weekends on KFI in Los Angeles. It's a 640 on the AM dial. And he related in one of his podcasts a thing that happened to him some time ago. And what happened was he set up a web hosting account and had the RSS, was feeding these things, and he computed, oh, it should have plenty of bandwidth. Well, turns out web hosting accounts are like cell phones. You can buy a lot of bandwidth fairly cheaply, but if you go over that, it gets very expensive very quickly. Well, each time the computer pings the site, is there anything new? It's on the order of 10, 20, 30K, probably depending on a lot of factors. That's not very many bytes. However, if you have 1,000 computers pinging every 5 minutes, you can run up a lot of traffic, and I think actually his podcasts are much more popular than that. Anyway, the net result is he ended up at the end of the month with a bill for $30,000. I don't know what the bill would normally have been, probably on the order of 100 or two maybe, but it was $30,000 because he had like terabytes of stuff from all these people pinging him every 5 minutes. So don't get into that. I would avoid RSS like the plague unless you've got some experience in deep pockets. My own philosophy is as long as someone is willing to take the time to actually download my podcasts, I'm willing to let them have them for free. Let's talk a little more about bandwidth. Recently, web hosting accounts have upped their bandwidth quite a bit for the same money. And I'm going to probably, when it gets popular and gets too much traffic for the location I'm on, I'm going to move over to probably a company called oneandone.com. That's the number one, A-N-D, number one.com. And for $10 a month, approximately, you will get about, as I recall, 1 terabyte of bandwidth, 1,000 gigabytes. And I believe several gigabytes of storage, quite a few gigabytes of storage. I don't remember exactly how many now, maybe on the order of 10 or something. But that's a lot of bandwidth. I think if I ever exceed that, or any podcaster who exceeds that, you probably ought to be selling advertising, and it won't matter that you'll be paying a lot of money for the web hosting. You'll probably be making a lot of money. So I think things are fairly cheap now, but once you exceed the limit of whatever you buy, it gets expensive really fast, just like cell phones. Let's talk about equipment. When you first get started, you don't really need anything exotic. I think a reasonably good computer mic on the input of your computer will do fine. And that's what I did. As you get on a little further into it, a little more serious, want to improve your sound quality a little bit, then you get into more exotic things. Now, my microphone is not a really expensive one. It's a Shure 8900. I paid $40 for it at Fry's. But there's another microphone, PR40, I believe, by Kyle. Don't have the website with me right now, but if you look up PR40 microphone, you'll see a whole line of them. They're pretty expensive, but that's what all the professionals use. Not quite there yet, so I'm using my little $40 mic. But I did buy from a company called sounddevices.com, www.sounddevices.com. They have a lot of little preamps and things. The audio input of my computer really wasn't all that compatible with this microphone, which is a low-level dynamic mic, and I needed a preamp. And I bought their MP-1 microphone preamp, which I'm using right now, and it works very well. I've got 50 dB of gain cranked in there, so now you may notice that you don't hear the hissing noise in the background you did on my earlier podcast. There's another gadget they have called USB PRE, USB Pre. It's a USB preamp, and I use that on the road. I'm going to be doing some interviews over the next several weeks, and it has various kinds of microphone and line-level inputs and USB output and also audio outputs from your computer, and it's a very handy thing. A little pricey at $500, but a very, very nice unit. There's also a thing called a Griffin iMic. If you type in I and then capital M-I-C, that's another gadget from Griffin Technologies. Usually you find these on Macs, but I believe they work on Windows as well. It looks like a small circular thing that you'd hold in your hand, and it's got mic and line-level inputs, and you can use that as well. It's less expensive, but it seems to do a good job. That's what I'm using right now on the end of my preamp. So that's it for this podcast. I just wanted to give you a few tips and things and avoid some pitfalls if you get into this. I encourage people to get into this. It's a great way to disseminate information, as I said before, and I think it really does the community a service for people to be able to drive along and use, or in any situation, use wasted time and be able to learn something new. Again, thanks for listening.